Well, now, of course, there are some people who think that trouble should never happen to a Christian. In fact, they think that if they become Christians, all their troubles are going to be over. Well, that simply isn't true. It would be nice if it were true, but I'm afraid it isn't. And you don't need to look any further than Paul to realise how fallacious it really is. Wouldn't it have been nice, after all Paul's troubles, after all he'd been in prison for 2 years, wouldn't it have been nice if God had given him a nice Mediterranean cruise in the sunshine to get over it all? I'm sure that's what we would have expected God to give us if we'd had to go through all that. But no, it wasn't to be. Paul was shipwrecked. It wasn't a new experience for him either. He tells us in one of his letters he'd been shipwrecked 3 times, and that was before this one. So this made the 4th. Poor old Paul. Why on earth did God do it to him? Well, I want us to look at some of the reasons that God does bring trouble into the lives of Christians, and a couple of the reasons why he doesn't, very quickly as we bring our service to a close. First of all, a reason why he brings troubles to us. Troubles teach us to trust God more. Look at verse 25 of the first chapter we read, Acts 27. Paul says to the men, "Keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me." Of course, it's easy to say you believe in God when things are easy, isn't it? It's easy even to pretend that you're a Christian when there are no problems. Sometimes it's only when the chips are down, when disaster strikes, that we really know whether we believe or not. You may have said, well, you know, Paul was lucky. God had spoken to him by an angel and told him that it would be all right. In fact, if you read the whole story from Acts 23 onwards, you'll know that Paul had been told 2 years before that he would go to Rome. God had given him an assurance of that. So Paul knew he would be safe. And you may say, well, that's jolly lucky for Paul. But if you think about it, you don't have to know the details of God's plan to be able to trust him that that plan exists. So you don't have an angel visiting you to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. That doesn't mean that you can't believe that God's in control. Paul had to exercise faith in what the angel said. We have to exercise faith in what God says to us when he says, I'm in control of your life. I have a plan for your life. And nothing can happen to spoil that plan. No disaster can throw the wheel of your life out of my hands. Troubles teach us to trust God in that way, to trust his protection, to trust him when he says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but God won't allow you to perish. Trust him when he says that all things work together for good if we love him. Oh, it's very easy to fake faith in times of prosperity. But just as real gold goes on shining when you put it in a fire, or just like a real diamond goes on sparkling when you put it under water, so real faith only becomes apparent, both to ourselves and to others, when we go through times of trouble. So that's the first reason troubles happen to us then. They teach us to trust God more. But there's a second reason too, I think, why they happen to us. Troubles are opportunities for witness. Just look at how the Apostle Paul, in verse 35 of that chapter, stands up before all these 276 people and says, taking bread and giving thanks to God in his hands, breaking it and beginning to eat, he says, I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single head from his head. And he gave thanks to God, we read, in front of them all. Now that's remarkable, isn't it? We said a little bit ago, they must have been feeling pretty sick not to have eaten anything all through this storm. And who can blame them? If you've ever felt seasick, you'll know how bad that is. But here is Paul standing up in the midst of seasoned sailors and hardened soldiers. And no doubt many of these passengers were merchants who were widely travelled, and yet they're all reduced to a state of despair. Even Luke says he was feeling a bit desperate too in verse 26. We all despaired, verse 20, of hope, of being saved. So everybody on board the ship was in a state of desperation. Yet here stands Paul, you see, and he's the one who's able to exert some leadership, telling the centurion, you know, don't let them get away in that boat, and displaying this confidence. Not a hair of your heads will perish. And this calmness to be able to break bread and give thanks and encourage them to eat. Wouldn't it be nice to be that sort of person? The sort of person who can keep their head when all around are losing theirs. Well, Paul could be, see? These troubles provided him with a unique opportunity to show how his Christian convictions gave him somewhere to stand when everything from a material or a human point of view seemed hopeless. And that can be so for us too. Of course Christians do get emotionally disturbed. Of course they get upset. Of course they get worried. We're not immune from these things, and it would be very mischievous to suggest we should be. But it is true to say that when troubles come, a Christian can often demonstrate his faith more powerfully than any other time in his life to those unbelievers around him by the extra resources that he finds in God. And that's what we see in Paul. And we should covet that same testimony when troubles come to us. They provide us with an opportunity maybe we've been praying for a long while, to witness to the centurion or to the passengers or to our neighbours or to our family. When troubles come, that is often when the opportunity is given to us. So two reasons then why God sometimes does bring troubles into the lives of Christians. First, to teach us to trust him more. And second, to provide us with golden opportunities to testify to others, to be a witness. But I want to tell you also from this story two reasons why God doesn't send troubles. And the first is this. God doesn't necessarily send troubles into Christian lives as a punishment. Now, of course, there are some people who are quite sure he does. There are plenty of Job's comforters in the world who will tell you that if only you're a good Christian, if only you read your Bible every day and say your prayers, if only you obey God's will in everything that he wants you to do, then no troubles will ever happen to you. And when trouble does come, they wag their finger at you and say, well, it must be something you've done. There must be some sin in your life. But you see, it isn't necessarily like that at all. It wasn't true for Job, who you remember was a righteous man and hadn't done anything wrong, yet great trouble came to him. And it wasn't true for Paul. Just notice when Paul landed on the island of Malta, what the local people said, the islanders, when they saw this snake bite him, they said, ah, this man must be a murderer. Though he's escaped from the sea, justice hasn't allowed him to live. See, in those days, they believed in Nemesis, a kind of impersonal goddess of vengeance who pursued evildoers, and they could never get away from her. And that's what they thought had caught up with Paul. He's been lucky, he got out of the shipwreck, but Nemesis, the god of vengeance, won't let him get away. Vengeance won't allow him to live. But you see, that wasn't the way it was. And as circumstances proved to them in their simple way, that wasn't how things were. They expected him to fall over dead, and when it didn't happen, they changed their minds and said he was a god. But supposing he had fallen over dead? Supposing it had been a poisonous viper? Or supposing God hadn't worked a miracle, if that's what we're to understand? Supposing he had been made very ill by this snake bite or died? Would they have been right to conclude, oh, well, he was a murderer then? Of course they would. That isn't the way it works. There are many things in our world which are evils, which are tragic, which are sad, which are painful, and they afflict us all because we live in a fallen world. But it isn't true to say that every individual person in the world suffers in proportion to their own sins. That isn't true. And Christians should know it better than anybody. Christians should know better than anybody that there is such a thing as innocent suffering. Why? Well, because Jesus died on the cross. And he was a better Christian than any of us, wasn't he? So troubles aren't necessarily a punishment, and it's very mischievous to suggest they are. And a third reason God doesn't give us, second reason why God doesn't give us troubles, he doesn't give us troubles necessarily in order to deliver us from them. Now, of course, this is another line you find with some people. They will say, oh yes, well, troubles may come, but God only sends troubles so he can work a miracle and deliver Christians from them. So he can display his power. Now that sometimes is true. There is a case in the Gospel of John where there was a man blind from birth, and the disciples asked, why was he born blind? And Jesus said, well, he was born blind to give me the opportunity of healing him. So it may be in some cases that is true, that there are troubles in the world that God allows because he has a plan to miraculously deliver people from them and so get great glory to himself and make people realize what a wonderful God he is. But that isn't true universally. Sometimes troubles just have to be lived with. Now, you look at the case of Paul here. We've been reading a great adventure story. Suppose you were Alastair MacLean and were writing a great adventure story. How would you end it? Well, you usually give it a happy ending. The hero escapes, he gets a medal, he defeats all his enemies, and he has a great victory, and he has no problems at the end, and you shut the book and you think, oh, that was a good story, that's the sort of ending I like. After all the tension and the excitement, the relief of feeling that at last he's got away with it and everything's okay. Well, in a sense, the book of Acts has a happy ending. Paul does escape the shipwreck, and he does get to Rome, just as God said he would, and he does witness for God there. And yet, you see, it's not a completely happy ending. It's not a completely unqualified triumph. For in many respects, Paul is just in the same situation in Rome as he was in when he was in Jerusalem. He still got trouble with the Jewish people, who still don't believe his message. He still got a chain around his wrists and around his feet. He still got a Roman guard by his side. He's still not at liberty. And that's how the story of Paul ends, as far as the book of Acts goes. We don't know whether he was ever released. Some people think he was, some people think he wasn't. We just don't know. As far as the Bible is concerned, that's where it leaves Paul, a man preaching the gospel and enjoying some measure of liberty, and yet with a chain round his foot. And sometimes, you see, that is how God leaves us. It's ironic, really. Paul had healed Publius, solved all Publius' problems, hadn't he? But God didn't solve all Paul's problems. Maybe he won't solve all yours. Maybe, like Paul, there are people you're praying for, people who are close to you by ties of kinship and affection, who you very much want to become Christians, but they aren't. And though you've been praying for a long while, they would become Christians. Nothing seems to change the situation. Just like Paul, with his Jewish friends. Some problems just have to be lived with. Or maybe you've got some chronic illness. Maybe you suffer from rheumatism or arthritis. Or maybe you've got some emotional problem, some mental or psychological problem. Maybe you suffer from depression or something like that. And you prayed for a long while that God would take it away. But it doesn't seem to get any better. Like Paul's chain around his foot, it's still there at the end of the story as it was at the beginning. Some problems have to be lived with. God doesn't always bring troubles into our lives in order to deliver us from them. Sometimes he brings trouble into our lives so that we can discover the riches of his grace through enduring them. That's what it was like for Paul. He talks about his thorn in the flesh that he asked God to take away 3 times, but God wouldn't. My grace is sufficient for you, he said. 4 lessons then about troubles. 2 lessons about why God doesn't send them to us. He doesn't send them to us necessarily as a punishment. He doesn't send them to us necessarily to deliver us from them. Some troubles just have to be lived with. But he does send them to us to teach us to trust him more. And he does provide us through them with an opportunity to witness that otherwise we might not have had. Let's pray together.